Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily life. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth. It's so great to have you here. This is episode 14, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 23rd of January 2019. And today's guest is my friend Sandessa, and we talk about basically two things. Her work, which is not the work that she wanted to do, not her plan, not where she thought she was heading. And so we talk about how she copes with that change, with that difference in what she expected. And also her music, which is just so lovely to talk about, but how she uses her skills in music, her gifts in singing and playing to the glory of God, and how she's getting extra training so that she can do that more skillfully. So that's it's a really good interview. I love talking to Sandessa. I made her cry in the middle. You can see if you can pick it. It's not so obvious from the audio. And then she made me cry as well, so that's fair. So, yeah, so I hope you enjoy that interview. This week in my life, well, it's been a big week because Wednesday last when I talked to you was our wedding anniversary, and then Friday was my birthday. So that was, you know, that's that week we have. In the middle of every January, the big one that Moz may not forget. So we celebrated those things. Really, the biggest celebration was going for a bushwalk on Thursday. And if you want to read about my struggles with the bushwalk, you can read it on my blog at aquietlifeblog.wordpress.com or go to ruthamos.com.au and click on blog and it'll be there for you. So yeah, it was a good bushwalk. I enjoyed it. It was fun. But yeah. Always lessons to be learned for me. I always introvertedly think deeply about these things that we do. So you can read about that in my blog. We also went to Launceston and visited some friends there, our godchildren, and had a really lovely day with them. So that was on Saturday. And yeah, so it's sort of been a week of cultivating friends and having time together with people, not just Moz and I, but other friends who had wedding anniversaries as well to celebrate, and then family, you know, as you get together to celebrate birthdays and all that kind of stuff. It's been fun. And I want to thank everybody for your very kind comments for my birthday and for our wedding anniversary, because it means a lot to me. Because as I say in my blog, words of affirmation is my major love language. And so to hear you guys say happy birthday or happy anniversary or everything that you say, which is very kind, means a lot to me. So feel free to leave comments on the blog or the podcast as well. I love it. I love it. The podcast has nearly 1,500 downloads at this point, so that's very cool. So please don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast so you can hear it every week, and share it with people would be really great. So yeah, go on to iTunes and leave a review if you feel so inclined. It would be really, really great to get some of those reviews up so that more people can hear these amazing interviews. So yes, a week of cultivating friends and a week of eating too much cake. It's been quite the nice week. It's been very enjoyable. But I think I am ready to get back into routine now. It would be, you know, you have a great holiday and it's really, really fun and there's all these extra exciting things, and then you go, right, ready to get up at the same time every morning and get in and do some work and just have that routine back again. Know who's making tea and know where you are at and where you're going. I enjoy that too. So next Wednesday, Moz starts back at work and that routine will start in our household again. So I'm actually looking forward to that. But I'm going to make the most of this week as we finish off the holiday. On Friday, just for those who might be interested in the writing side of my life, I am a guest on a podcast called The Prolific Writer. I'm doing the recording of the interview on Friday. So that's something new for me. And I'm excited. I'm very excited because I listen to The Prolific Writer pretty much every week. And I've had some very good advice from listening to this guy. And now to have me being interviewed on his podcast is something pretty exciting, even if he is in the middle of the United States. And I have to make sure that I've got a speaking voice that works at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. That's fine. That's all part of the deal. So I'll let you know when the podcast is actually being broadcast, because I don't have a clue yet. But that's part of the excitement of this week. And I guess the other thing that's going on for all of us here in Tasmania, in South Tasmania at the moment, is that we've got bushfires burning everywhere and the air is full of smoke. And it's just something to pray about, pray for the people fighting the fires and for protection of our precious resource, our bush. So that's really all I have to say about the week. I hope that you are well. I hope that you are enjoying the summer. And please enjoy this interview with Sandessa. Today it's my great privilege to introduce to you Sandessa, who's my good friend.
Hi.
So Sandessa or Des, or you should call her Des. It's a nice name, Sandessa.
Thank you.
Combination of
Sandra and Vanessa. Thanks, Dad. You are awesome.
Well, you could get a good website. Like, I'm sure there are. Anyway,
yeah.
Off topic one day. Already. This is what happens. So Des is a good friend of mine. We've been friends ever since we did a science degree together. And Des has worked as a scientist and as an administrator, and she's also written here, but I totally agree, a damn fine singer and songwriter.
Thanks,
Ruth. It's great to have you with us. So welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start with, as we always start, how did you become a Christian?
Yeah, so I was brought up in a Christian family. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of four siblings, and my parents would take us to church every Sunday. A little bit sadly, though, I'm the only Christian out of my siblings. Mm. So I've always known God, and although I walked away for a little bit, for a couple of years there, I'd already been baptised into the faith, yes. And God was always in the background in my mind saying, hey, Des, you know, you need to come back to me, I've still got you, you might not be walking my path, but I've still got you, so.
So was there a particular thing that brought you back after your walking away?
I'd moved down to Hobart to go to uni, mm-hmm. which is where I met you. And I had a period of time where I had a boyfriend living with me, and we both called ourselves Christians, and we didn't really go to church. I'd kind of been looking for a church to go to earlier in the year, but hadn't found anywhere that I liked. Even though you kept saying, come to St. Clement's, come to St. Clement's. And I'm like, no, I'm going to find my own church. And anyway, the relationship broke down. I kind of ended up with depression and was feeling really low and felt like a hypocrite. And finally took your advice and came to St. Clement's. And that was really the start for me. So I walked into St. Clement's, and our church has this amazing stained glass wooden thing up the back. And a circular step up the front that had material on it. And I walked into church and I went, oh my gosh, this is the church I've been looking for. Like, mm-hmm. the actual building itself was the building that I'd been looking for, because I'd actually been there when I was younger.
Right.
And had been going on my search for churches around the place going, I wonder where that church was.
I wonder where. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And walked in and I'm like, this is it. Right. Okay. So I started coming back to church and, recommitted myself to God, and
cool,
that's it.
And how does your faith sort of work itself out in your life now? Are you a 1 hour in the morning devotion? No, no.
So as you know, I'm not a morning person at all. My faith, I'm still a bit hit and miss with my my prayer life, with my reading of the word. I'm really good on my days where I go to work. So I work part-time, and on those mornings I travel the bus, and unless I'm having a really good conversation with somebody, I'll be sitting there reading my Bible on my phone. And then as I reach the top of Tolman's Hill, that's when I put the phone away and I actually pray down into work, into Hobart.
That's really nice. So that's integrated into the bus trip. Yep. It's a good use of bus time.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. So on my days off, yeah, it doesn't happen as much. I still pray in every situation and all the time, but it's not as rigorous, and I'm less likely to pull out my Bible to pray, to read the word at those times.
So. Yeah, it's important. The importance of habits, I guess, isn't it? It's that habit thing.
Yeah.
Nice. So, work. What do you do for a job?
So, I work for the Department of State Growth as a senior admin officer in the State Roads Division. So, my job is, as it says, administration. I don't really know what else to say about that. It's just doing the things that we need to do. We update intranet notices, our intranet page. We do basic correspondence. A lot of editing of other people's work is what I do.
I want to ask, how many times has the name of the department you work for changed since you started working there?
It's actually only changed once for me.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good, but one of my colleagues who's been there for 40 years now, it's changed 5 times, I think, since she's been there. So I'm expecting another change in the next couple of years.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Do you enjoy it?
Mostly I do. And I've just received a promotion this year, so I'm much happier with my job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But it has its times, it has its moments. It's not something that I aspired to do or to be, but God has blessed me with a gift of administration, and this is the job that I've been blessed with. So, yeah.
How does your faith show itself where you work?
Yeah, I was thinking about this and I'm like, oh, how does it work out? I think, so it's not, it's a secular world that I work in, and it's very difficult to share your faith with people within the bounds of allowability. So I have to be very careful of what I say to people, and, you know, even things like finishing off my email, I would normally email my friends with blessings or God bless at the end of it, and I have to change the way I do that with work, and so it's cheers or kind regards or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, oh, that's so not what I'm meaning.
Yeah.
So most of the time, I'm pretty sure most people know that I'm a Christian at work, and I think the most time that I would talk about God would really be when people ask me, so what did you do on the weekend, or what have you got planned for the weekend? And I will say, well, I've got, you know, something on Saturday and church on Sunday, or I'm leading worship on Sunday, or, you know, those sort of things. And every now and again somebody might ask me about my faith, or people might tell you that something tough is going on in their lives, and that's when I will ask them, would you mind if I pray about that for you? And not then and there over them, but you know, in my own time to put them on my prayer list, basically, and pray for the person, pray for the circumstance. And I haven't had anybody knock me back yet, but it's, I have to be very discerning about who I offer that to as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's not going to, if someone's very anti, it's not going to lead them closer, is it?
Exactly. And if they are very anti and there's something going on in their lives, I just pray about them anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I have written, what has God shown you in your work? Because I think we were having a conversation about coming to terms with working in this area when you wanted to work elsewhere. Would you like to talk about that a bit?
What has God shown me in my work? Yeah, so he's shown me that I need to trust him. And it is really tough. Like, so my chosen vocation would be in science somehow. But unfortunately I got sick and have chronic RSI on my neck and can't basically do all the microscope work that I would need to do in science, or a lot of
hunching over and looking down, and all that affects the neck.
So that path of options for me, and something that I'm really interested in, I can't do anymore. So I kind of fell into administration after about 4 years of not being able to work. And initially it was, I just need to find work. I just need to find something that I can have an income, support myself, and that I can do physically and sustain it in the long run. And so I had a couple of years with police, and then I moved to what was then called the Department of Infrastructure, Energy and Resources, now State Growth. Moved there after a couple of years, and it's been in the last 2 years that I've managed to increase my time to 4 days a week. I used to be 3 days a week. So it's a sign that there's healing going on still for me, which is awesome. But in terms of my actual having peace about my job, that's really difficult still for me. And it's every day I just have to be trusting God in that.
Yeah, we get deep quick here in this podcast. But it's hard. I mean, it's a dream that it's giving up on a dream, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Cool. So.
So are you going to make me cry?
I'm thinking, do I go again? But God has shown you using your giftings, your admin giftings in that place.
Yeah, I've been very begrudging about that, but yes, he has. It's certainly not something that I thought I would ever have the skills for. Like it never even crossed my mind, actually. And I think initially when I started doing administration type things, I was actually volunteering for church. Going into the office and helping the Petes, so Pete Adlam and Pete Greenwood, to organise and run the evening service that we had at church back in the day. And it was from there that we took, I say we because I went through Commonwealth Rehabilitation Services, so I took those skills of administration and went, okay, we can't work in the science thing. And we did try several job trials in different places, and it just caused more pain for me. So it was, okay, can't be in a lab, can't be looking down, so you need something where your head is up and working. So, yeah, God's shown me, he's still teaching me that I need to rely on him and need to trust him, and that if he wants me to do something else, he'll open up that door. But it's still really tough. Like even, was it yesterday? I was looking on the government jobs website, and there were a couple of jobs advertised for the Royals pathology lab. And I was like, I could do that. Like I know I have the knowledge to be able to do that. But my body, I don't think, would stand it. So it's still a love of mine to try and do that science, but
yeah.
Just have to surrender that.
We're halfway through the journey. And I guess, you know, you wonder if you're going to get answers before eternity or not. But, this is not an end of the story.
Yeah.
Interview.
Yeah.
I don't do those. I do midway ones. Yeah. But I think it's encouraging for people to hear people holding on to God when you're still in the middle, when you haven't come through to the other side yet.
Yeah.
Important. This is making me cry too, by the way. Let's turn to music. How do you use your musical giftings for God? When did you start playing and singing?
So I actually, well, start playing and singing for God, or start playing and singing?
Start.
Okay. From the start. So my parents were both teachers, so I grew up, and music teachers. And so I grew up in a family where my parents would always grab the guitars and we'd be singing around the campfire, or if there's a party at home, it would always end up with whoever would bring an instrument and you just all in play and sing and, you know, just awesome fun times like that.
So
to love. And so I started singing when I was really young. And because I'm the youngest of four, everybody had their own part, so I had to learn how to harmonise. So that's kind of my brain automatically goes to a harmony on any song, pretty much. And yeah, so that was the start for me. So I play guitar, a little bit of piano and sax, tenor sax. And so I picked up piano first when I was really young, had a teacher and learnt some of that. Didn't really get along with the teacher though. So at the end of grade six, I gave that one up in exchange for playing sax at high school. And so I played sax, was in a band when I was younger, Youth Music Tasmania, for several years, which really helped me learn anything and everything really. And then when I moved out of home when I was 15, got into a house where I didn't have a piano to play. And there was a guitar there, and I wanted to be able to accompany myself and sing. So I asked my mum, can you teach me some chords? So she taught me the four basic chords. And away I went, kind of taught myself from there, and keep asking, you know, knowledgeable people at church, how do I do this? How do I do that? Pick their brains and learn from them. And yeah.
So when did you start using that for God then?
So I think when I was in high school, I actually would play my sax at the church that I was going to in Scottsdale back then. And there was always so many singers. So it was always, there's too many singers. I don't want to take somebody else's place, so I will play another instrument, and that was fine. And then when I came down to Hobart and started coming to St. Clement's, I think it was about 6 months in, finally got the courage up to go and talk to Andrew Legg, and I think I cried on him, because I tend to do that when I'm approaching somebody who I admire and who I'm a little bit scared of. And he was so gracious, and he's like, yeah, okay, bring your sax along and just let's play. And he was so good because, you know, I was playing by ear. And so it probably took us a couple of years before they were confident enough in what I was doing to actually mark me up and have me playing that way. And then again, I was so scared that everybody was hearing me, and I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, so I started playing the sax, and then with the evening church, when that got started, I started to actually play guitar and sing there, and that's when I started leading worship, was at that. And then when I came back to morning church, joined back in with Andrew's band, and then it became I can't do this one, can somebody else fill in? And so I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do that. And so I started leading at the big church, and that's where I'm at now. Yeah,
which is lovely. She does a beautiful job of leading worship.
Thanks for saying.
Would you say voice is your primary instrument now?
Yeah. That's my passion, and I really do have a passion for helping God's people to praise Him and sing their hearts to Him together at church. I really do. Like, I absolutely love it when I can stop singing and just hear the church and they go for it, and it just makes my heart soar.
It's amazing.
It's so good, and it's, you know, just it's the best thing ever to hear people worship God all together, one heart, one voice, one mind, all together. It's just beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this year, just this year, you've been back at the con.
Halfway through last year.
Halfway through last year.
Yeah.
to get extra training. So why did you go back to the con?
Yeah.
Almost, why did you go back to that university?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was so the drew you there?
So part of it is because the Bible calls us, if you're a musician, to be a skilled musician.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I'm self-taught mostly, I didn't necessarily feel like I had confidence in what I'm able to do, or the understanding to be able to communicate with others of what I want, or that I understood what they were telling me when they're telling me what they want when I'm playing with them. So that was part of the reason to be a skillful musician. The other side of it is that so I've been asking God for ages, you know, what is your plan for me, given all my work stuff that's gone on and where I thought the plan was not the plan. So, okay, God, what is the plan?
You plan.
Yeah. And, you know, it was actually at the start of last year, about Easter last year, I was up at a young adults conference in Brisbane, and at the end of that they were asking people who felt like God was calling them to be an evangelist to stand up and we would pray for you. And I was sitting there and knowing that the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, but also knowing that I really don't feel confident in being an evangelist or a teacher or a minister. And that's not where my gifts lie, but also knowing that he's called us to do the Great Commission, so therefore it's got to be in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So sitting there and I was asking God, you know, I really wish that I could stand up, but I know that that's not what you're calling me to. That's not where my gifts are. And he said to me, what are your gifts, Des? I said, well, music is a gift that you've given me. And he said to me, this is what I want you to do. And so I wrote down in my journal that I had at the time to travel Tasmania to visit the small churches to help them find the heartbeat of God.
Mm-hmm.
And to use music to do that. Mm-hmm. Wasn't exactly those words, but that was the gist of it. And so I came away going, oh my gosh, wow. Totally overwhelmed and unprepared. And so I came back and talked to Pete about it and shared it with the rest of the music ministry team. And everybody was like, yeah, that's really good. It lines up with what Pete had been planning with our church. It's one of our visions for our church to go and support other churches around the place. And one of the key things he had put there was with music. And he was just like, I think that, Des, is you. Don't know how that's going to work out yet. And I'm still praying about that. But and so trying to think about how I can do that. I don't know when it's going to happen, but part of me going to uni, not only to become a skilled musician, but also to receive training so that I can go out and train other people who don't have the opportunity to go to uni and to receive that sort of training. And the other side of it is, so I'm majoring in songwriting, and one of the key things that I've struggled with the music ministry in my church is to finding the right songs for church. And as Ruth knows, I've written some songs for church, and I really like the idea of being able to write songs that I can just give to people and say, here's a song that's biblically based, that's easy to play, that's easy to sing, that can be fun.
That would be amazing, yeah.
And here you go. If you want to use it, please do it. Here's a track of it. Here's some music of it. Make it your own and may the glory go to God, you know. So that's kind of the thoughts at this stage.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. So you're really quite busy then if you're working 4 days a week.
Yes. And part-time at uni. So it's going to take me a while to finish uni if I finish the degree.
Because
that's the other thing too. Like, I've got a Bachelor of Science with honours did 3 years of the PhD but didn't quite finish it. I'm going to uni and sure, it would be great to get the piece of paper at the end, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be trained and skilled to be able to go and do what God's called me to do. So if that means that I get partway through the course and God says, okay, you've got enough, now we're going to go down this road, then I just got to trust him and go with it.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it actually also frees you up with when you're studying at uni. Like, you know, because we went through together, I was a pretty high achiever.
Yes.
And,
yes, it was.
You know, only got the highest marks in chemistry because of Ruth. She taught me as we studied together. Whereas I'm free to not have to get the high marks.
Mm.
If I get them, then that's really awesome. But at the same time, if I just need to get something in for the sake of getting something in, as long as I pass, then that's fine.
Because you're there for the learning.
Exactly.
Not for the piece of paper.
Exactly.
Mm,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
So it's taken the pressure off to realise that and go for that. I just have to keep reminding myself of that. Particularly, you know, I had my first exam for the course only about a month ago now. And I think I probably studied for about maybe 3 hours for the exam. Whereas with science, it would have been a good solid 2 days worth of studying, 14 hours each day, sort of thing. So it was very different walking into that exam. And I'm confident that I passed. So,
I was talking to Josh, which I think will be episode 7 or 8, Josh. So Josh's interview is playing next week as we record this, but that's got nothing to do with when you're going to find it on the anyway. So yes, before this one, but yes, he was saying the same thing, that that his self-worth is not tied up in his marks anymore.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Your self-worth gets wrapped into God, and then the learning is for the learning.
Yep.
Would you like to say anything else about music?
Music is when I feel probably the closest to God.
Mm.
And I actually find it really difficult to, if I'm having a really bad day, week, whatever, or I feel really far from God, it's most likely because I haven't been praising him and worshipping him in my own life.
Mm.
And, you know, at the moment at church, I'm on most weeks, not every week, but most weeks I'm on in some way, shape or form. And being in part of that really does ground me, because I have to make sure before I get up there and be one of the people who is leading the church, I have to make sure that I'm right with God.
Mm.
And so it means that it leads me to that confession and to that repentance and getting my heart and my mind right with God again before I can stand up there and authentically lead people to worship him, to praise him. So that really helps to ground me and to draw me closer to him.
Do you put worship CDs on in the background at home and things like that?
I did this morning. not as often as I should. When I go for a walk or whatever, it's normally worship music that is playing. And even my workout set for the gym, it finishes with this praise lot of music, cool music, and it's very difficult not to sing with the headphones in at the gym. And
So if you're at a gym that just bursts into spontaneous worship, or on a bus trip down into town that suddenly bursts into singing, you know that it's just
exactly. Yeah, so, but when I'm at home, no, I don't usually have music playing unless I need to learn something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But so it's in the act of playing and singing that you feel closest to God.
Yeah.
So to finish off, what's one thing about God or Christianity that you wish everybody knew?
I wish everybody knew that God loved them unconditionally. There's nothing you can do that will separate you from the love of God. And no matter what you've done, even, you know, the worst thing that you could possibly think of, God can forgive that. If you turn to him and ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive that. I wish people knew that, because there are so often where we just condemn ourselves and, you know, think, I'm such the worst person. How could anybody ever love me, let alone a God? But he does. He loves you. So, yeah.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you very, very much
for sharing. My pleasure.
Sorry I made you cry.
It's all right. You didn't get the real bawling. And
not the ugly cry.
Yeah, not the ugly cry. I'm a good ugly cry.
That's great. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been encouraging for you. I want to especially thank Catherine Joy Music for the theme music. If you would like to help me fund this podcast, you can find me at patreon.com/quietlife and help me out for as little as $1 a month. If you want to contact me, you can email Ruth at ruthamos.com.au or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author or tweet me at A Quiet Life. I'd love to hear from you. God bless. See you next week.